Hey, girlfriends, welcome to another episode of Girlfriends and Goals. We're your hosts, Miosha
and Samaria.
This podcast is a space where we'll talk about friendships, life goals, a little bit of pop culture, and all things womanhood.
Our top goal this year is to grow our podcast audience. So if you're new here or you're an avid listener of this podcast, please subscribe, leave us a 5-star rating, write a review, and be sure to share this episode with a girlfriend or two. All right, before we jump into our first segment, we do have a special guest today. And this guest is special because I don't know if you guys are OG listeners, but on our very first episode, I mentioned a friend who I met on Instagram. And today that friend is our guest. So this is a really nice, like, full circle moment. So welcome to the podcast, Sandra.
Hey, everyone.
And actually, this is perfect because Sandra is celebrating her very first Mother's Day. So hey.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to jump into our first segment, which is Girlfriend Check-In, where we usually pick a question from a conversation starter game. But today we just picked a random question from the internet. So today's question is, if you had the choice to save 100 people, random strangers, versus one family member, which one would you choose? And Sandra, since you're our special guest, we'll have you go first.
I would choose one family member. I know that sounds really selfish, but I have lost a parent and there have just been days where I'm like, I would give anything to, you know, talk to that person. It's not like sacrificing, but if it was like choose 100 random people you don't know, you haven't interacted with, you know, has no meaning to your life versus choose someone that, you know, is your loved one. Yeah, I would choose a loved one. Sorry, guys.
I was gonna say I don't want to say this on record because it does sound, I guess, a little bit selfish. But also, if I were to pick 100 people, all my family members who listen to this podcast would definitely come for me. So I want it to be clear, I would absolutely choose a family member because, like you said, I don't have relationships with those 100 people, and I'm kind of loyal to my family, so sorry.
I don't think that it's being selfish. I think it's being practical. I will say, when I heard this question, the first thing that I thought was, is this a family member that's close, or is this like a family member you don't know about? Because this, I know, true. I have a huge family. I have family members I've never met, I could walk past them and not even know that they were my family. So I think, I don't know, I'd somewhat factor that in, like, is this someone that is close to me and that I actually know is my family versus a family member that I don't really know, but I probably still would choose the family member.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends. Yes. If it's that cousin you don't like, I'm just
I mean, you said it.
I would probably still choose the family member just because I'm not about to be like, excommunicated from my whole family because I let that one person die. I feel like my whole family will hold a grudge against me.
Really? You don't think anyone in your family would be like, okay, she picked the most amount of people, the most amount of lives?
No.
No?
No, there's not one person in my family I could think of who would be like, oh, you picked 100 people. That's a good thing. I just can't. They might be like, hey, you made the choice that you felt was right, but they definitely wouldn't be like, oh yeah, you picked, you know, I can't see it. So yeah.
I don't think my family would be happy either way. I think they'd feel sorry that I was in the position to even have to make this decision. Like, dang, you know, because it would still be 100 lives that you could have saved. So even that would weigh on you. I don't think there's an easy answer to that question.
Now, obviously, if someone else is asked this question, and I'm one of the 100 people, save me, please. I just want to put this out there. Please let me be.
I mean, everybody has family.
This is true.
All right, so we're going to slide into our topic for the week, which obviously Sunday, this comes out Friday, but Sunday is Mother's Day. And one of our best performing episodes that we've done on this podcast was the one on adult mother-daughter relationships. That was a good episode. If you haven't checked it out, make sure you check it out. But I think especially with Mother's Day, right, with the celebration of moms, there are a lot of people who are talking about, oh, my mom's my best friend, my mom's this, my mom's that. And I think a lot of times we don't think about those who might have like strained relationships with their moms or where things aren't maybe as rosy. So we just wanted to dive into that topic a little bit today. And Sandra has been gracious enough to come on and share her wisdom around this topic. So of course, we are grateful for that. Before we get deep into Sandra's story, I do want to just start off with a lighthearted question. And that is, if you could describe your relationship with your mother in one word, what would you say? So Sandra, I'll start with you.
I would say distant.
Okay.
That's a good word. Okay. Neosha, what would your word be?
I would say balanced.
Okay.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, balance in that I feel like my mom, we have moments where we're like good girlfriends and we can talk for hours, but then there's still also that separation of, okay, well, she's still my mom. And that level of respect is there. So yeah, I'd say balance.
I think my word would be protective. And yeah, maybe we'll get into this like a little bit later, how that's like a positive thing. And how like at this age, it might not be such a positive thing, but protective is definitely the word. If I could have said two words, I would have said maybe a little like overly protective, but yeah, I don't know. I've said more than one word. So let me just stop there. Protective is the word. And I think on both sides, mm-hmm. So I kind of see it like me being protective towards her, but her being protective towards me a lot more.
All right. So the word that you gave for your relationship, if you could sum it up in one word, was distant, I believe, Sandra. And yep. So do you want to expound on that a little bit more in kind of how you've arrived at that word to describe it?
Yeah. So, you know, I think in the beginning when Samaria was, you know, introducing this topic, she talked about, you know, people that have great relationships with their moms or daughters. And it's just like, I have just really, since I was maybe 12 or 13, I don't think that I've been super close with my mom. Like, I don't feel like I know who she is as a person. I don't think I could tell you what her favorite color is. I don't think she knows me well as a person. You know, she moved back. I'm Cameroonian, so she moved back to Cameroon for a few years. And, you know, we kind of kept in contact, but, you know, our relationship hasn't always been the best. I was always closer to my father. And yeah, I just, even with me now going through motherhood, there's some things that I wish I could speak to her about, you know, because as a new mom, it's just, it's a lot. It's like a lot of emotions. It's a lot of exhaustion. It's just, my word to describe right now is it's a lot. Of course, there are all the good things that people talk about and all that, of course. But yeah, so it's just been just lack of communication. We just see things very differently, you know, with her growing up in Cameroon, she has this very myopic view of what she thinks I should be as a daughter. And I think I'm a little bit more rebellious in the sense that I've chose to walk my own path and not necessarily follow the traditional African type of path. And I think that has caused some friction. And I'm a little bit outspoken, but so is she. It's funny because I'm like, girl, so are you. Like, you tell me what's on your mind and you don't let it, you know? But yeah, it's just been, I've just never been able to connect with her. And I went through a grieving process even before I got pregnant and, you know, had my baby, that I'm never going to have that relationship with my mother. And, you know, when I became a mom, you know, I went through, and even still a little bit still going through, a kind of grieving process, because I think that this would have been a great experience for us to bond, because when I became a mom, there are just certain things that I understood from her perspective, but, you know, we just were not able to connect. And yeah, it's just really distant. Like, I feel like everything I've gone through in womanhood, I've had to teach myself. I don't feel like I had a mother that has kind of been there to be a positive impact and be like, I can confide in her. Like, I've never had that relationship in my adult years. When I was younger, yeah. But when I started to think for myself and ask questions and challenge, then that became a problem. But a relationship where I could see my mom as a friend, or she's my mom, but you know, you still have that when you grow older, there's still that level of friendship where you can be like, hey mom, so this is what's going on, like none of that. So it's just been distant, like, you know, and I think that has definitely manifested into the types of friends I picked earlier on in my teens and early 20s. I did a whole soul searching, especially last year, and I realized that some of my girlfriends have characteristics like my mom. That is, it was just so interesting because as a woman and me having a daughter myself now, mom is like your first friend. She's the first, like I see my daughter literally watch. She's only almost 4 months, but she literally watches every single thing I do. Like she, like if I leave the room, she like follows me with her eyes. Like, and she's now just getting to the point where she can have other people carry her and not just me. But you know, that's your first friend. And when you feel distant and almost to a point betrayed by your first friend, sometimes it makes it hard to know exactly what to look for in a friend because your boundaries were already broken early on. So
that is so interesting. Like, you said a few things that really stood out to me. And one of them was like trying to learn things. So I'm actually, I do this like series called Growing Up African. And I've been talking to one of my friends who is actually engaged right now. And I'm like, do you feel like that, like your mom has maybe prepared you? Like, how do you feel like your mom has prepared you for this? And we're going to have a whole conversation about that. But just hearing you say, oh, there are certain things that I wish maybe I would have, you know, been able to learn from her. Now you're also married. So I'm curious, like, do you think the same thing happened with like you becoming a wife? Like you wish that maybe you could have gleaned something from her that you weren't able to?
Oh, definitely. I think with my mom, I learned a lot of what not to do. So I looked at a lot of the things that she did and I was like, okay, I don't want to do that. So I learned from that aspect. But in terms of just learning from her in general, I feel like I learned nothing. And that sounds a little bit harsh, but it's the truth. You know, there were even times where I feel like I don't feel like I have a mom. Like, it's just like, she's there and I'm here and she's just like, you know, it's just, we're not close. Like we just, and I just had to come to that. I had to accept that. And I think part of that is just, she doesn't know who she is as a person. You know, my mom had me at 17. So she was a really young mom. And I think part of it is she never felt like she got to live the life that she wanted. And she kind of held some resentment. Oh my God, am I going too deep, you guys?
No.
Not at all.
I'm like, is this as deep as we're supposed to be going? Am I talking too much? Let me know. But, you know, and this has been something that I have worked on for the last decade since I realized, okay, something's wrong here. Cause I thought that's just how parents, I'm like, okay, this is just African parents. Like they're just crazy. Like, but then I went to college and I started to meet other people and I'm just like, wait, you and your mom actually have these types of conversations that you can confide in your mom. Like I would not feel comfortable if I was going through something like crying and being vulnerable in front of her, because when I have shown that side, when she's upset, she would use it as ammunition. So I, like, even, you know, even my husband, he made a comment, like he realized how different my demeanor was when I was around her. I'm so guarded. Like, I'm like, I don't even show emotion. It's like, I'm such a good person. And even to him, he's like, dang, like you were so cold over there. But it's just because I learned to put a guard up. It's just, I just, how can you take advice from someone that you wouldn't even trust being vulnerable with? I know, girl, it's a lot because I'm the oldest of three. So you'll be the exact same way as I do. So it's interesting to see her repeat the same mistakes over and over again.
So you mentioned that you're a sibling and you're the oldest.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that you've kind of gotten the brunt of it in terms of being distant with your mom? You said that it seems like she's repeating the same thing. Do you feel like because you're the firstborn that's made a difference between how maybe you and your siblings have experienced your mom?
I think for me, I probably got the best of her. You know, our dad passed when I was 17 and I was the oldest, but my brother and sister are a lot younger than me because my mom had me so young, she waited to have the rest. So my brother's now 17 and my sister's now 15. And I think with my dad being alive, he was a buffer and he was able to kind of balance her out and kind of keep her in check. So after he died, I think she just got worse. And I think my brother and sister actually got the shit end of the stick, actually. Because some stuff that, you know, when they tell me their experience, it's just like, it is mind blowing. Because I just know if my dad was alive, like he just would not let that shit slide. Like he would have been like, no. But since there's no parent to kind of put her or check her or have her to be accountable. And I try to be her accountability partner, but I realize as an African parent, she'd be like, am I that age? I'm sorry, Ma. Like, you know, so I can't be that person for her. But I think my siblings actually got it a little bit worse. They actually live with me right now because things got so bad that they moved in with me.
I was going to ask, like, how has that affected your relationship with your siblings? Like, do you feel like you have to step in and be a mom figure, or do you see yourself as big sister and you're able to find that like balance? How has that affected you as a big sister?
I think I have seen myself as kind of like a second mom for like ever, because they're so young, they're so much younger than me. And my mom relied heavily on me, especially after my dad died, to step up. And, you know, I do discipline. Like I've been up to my brother's school if he's been in trouble. You know, I remember after my dad died, my mom was just going through such a tough time. I used to go to like my sister's parent. What is it? Like when you go to your kid's school.
PTA for the day or something.
Yeah, like stuff like that. I used to do that for her. And I am their oldest sister, but there is such a level of respect there because I am like a guardian, not just their older sister. So it kind of puts me in a more of an authority figure than just a sibling. Because right now they live with me and, you know, so I'm fully responsible for them. So it's like, before I just got up here, I was yelling at my brother, like, do something productive. You can't just play video games all day. you know, so definitely more like a parental figure because mm-hmm. need that to check them. Like if mm-hmm. I don't do it, you know, who's going to do it? I kind of see my sister now. She looks to me for guidance because if I do something, like the other day, I just had some graham crackers and peanut butter. She's like, ew, that's nasty. I'm like, okay, girl. So the next day I see her and she's like, trying. She's like, actually, this is pretty good. And I just see her picking up little things. Like before she lived with me, she hated working out. And if you know, I'm big on working out and health and fitness. And now she like goes to the gym. I don't even have to ask her. But I literally have videos of her like 2 years ago trying to get her to work out with me. And she was just complaining the entire time, like, oh, this sucks. I don't want to be here. And so I feel like instead of her looking to someone like my mom to copy and emulate certain characteristics, like they now look to me and husband for my brother.
How do you think that's affected the relationship with your mom in terms of like your siblings looking to you to like fill that motherly figure?
I think it put a rift in our relationship because even before they came and lived with me, there were times where she would say, Sandra's not your parent, I am. Because she realized that there's a certain level of respect that they have for me. Like there's just certain things that they just don't do with me. I'm like, I'm not playing that with y'all. Like nip it in the bud. And she would even call me sometimes. She'd be like, hey, can you talk to Sam or can you talk to, you know, your sister? You know, they'll listen to you more. And I think it might have caused a certain level of envy or it just made things a little bit more difficult because then I get put into the situation where, once again, like I'm the parent figure and me and her actually got into discourse about it when she's like, you're not the parent I am. I'm like, okay, then stop calling me. You need my help on if you're the parent, you know, like, but I'm coming up to the school with you. I'm talking to the principals. I'm emailing people. I'm doing all this stuff. Like, you know, I'm here with you. I'm not trying to take over, but because I understand what's going on behind the scenes with my brother and sister. I'm trying to connect and communicate with her, you know, hey, don't do this. Maybe she talks to them this way, but you know.
Yeah. But because of your position as her child, she's not like they, you're probably giving like, you're probably speaking facts, you know, like
I am speaking facts, girl.
Yeah, but because I don't know what this is, because you're the child, I guess it's hard for her to like take advice from
she
you.
She can't take it in. It's hard for her, like her ego would not allow her to feel like I know something that she may need help with. And I'm like, that is life, you know, like if my to me and she knows something more than I do, I'm not going to be like, I'm older than you, you should know this. You know, I can learn from a 10-year-old, you know, you can learn from anyone. I can learn from a 2-year-old, you know, like, so, but yeah, it definitely caused, even with them coming over here. Yeah, that was, girl.
Wow.
Yeah, that was some shit. Because, yeah.
So what boundaries did you have to set with your mom, like before you started a family, right? And then like what new boundaries, if there are any, did you have to set like now that your family is growing?
One of the things that I really set was I did not speak to her about my relationship, like any issues I had, any, like that was such a huge, like I was like, I'm not going to talk to you about any issues, any, you know, anything like that. I kept it very surface level with what me and my husband were going through, where we were at. If I had something, I know sometimes people tend to go to their parents and talk and like, hey, this is what's going on in our relationship. I kept that door shut. Like, I probably have a friend that knows more about what David and I go through than my mom did. Like, it's very like, we're good. We're united front in front of her, because I would never want a situation where she feels like she can insert, which has happened in the past. It has happened. So I knew to just nip it in the bud. You know, one of the boundaries that I put in place was, you know, maybe not answering phone calls at all types of the night, because like I said, you know, with my dad not being here, she would rely on me just for, you know, everything. Like I'll get calls at like midnight of like a crisis happening, and then I can't go to sleep because then I'm like all ramped up, and then it just messes up my whole next day. So just putting communication boundaries. And one of the big things was communication for sure, because earlier on when I was younger in my early 20s, and my mom would just talk to me any kind of way, like, you know, if she felt some type of way, you know, she would just say it, and not in the best way, in a very rude way. Mm-hmm. And it big on me to be like, hey, mom, you can't talk to me like this. Like, even if I'm your daughter, you can't talk to me like, you don't lost your damn mind, girl. Like, like this, like, you know, like this did not warrant that type of conversation or that type of feedback. I'm like, this is actually rude. Like I wouldn't, she would actually. I'm like, I wouldn't talk to a friend like that. I wouldn't talk to anybody like that. So if you could, you know, not talk to me like that. So communication boundaries, girl, it was just boundaries all over the place. Like, I keep it very matter of fact with her.
So I commend you for setting those boundaries, you know, one for your own just like peace of mind and the health of your relationship. And now that you're a new mom, but I'm curious to hear what was her reaction to those boundaries, because I'm sure it may have happened over time. I know parents may not always be the most receiving, even when you have like a good relationship with your mom or your dad, they may not be as receptive or open to you setting these lines in place, because they feel like, hey, I'm the parent. Who are you to tell me what line I am or am not gonna cross? So how was that experience for you?
At first, she then became critical. She was like, oh, you're changing. This relationship is changing you. You know, you're not as open as you used to be. And I remember I went to Cameroon in 2016, and she blamed it on, I don't know what they did to you when you came back here. You're different. I mean, you know how they like to be like, they put witch on you or something. I'm like, girl, ain't nobody did nothing to me. I'm just growing up. You know, I'm no longer 15. I'm now, you know, 23, 22. And most importantly, I'm going out into the world and figuring out stuff on my own and realizing that certain things not okay because I'm not in a bubble with you. But definitely some pushback. She did not like it. She was like, what happened to my little girl? You know, little girl got a voice, you know. So it was pushback on, you know, her thinking it did something to me when I went to Africa. And I don't know what those people did to you, but you changed ever since you came back. I was like, no, I just grew up. But yeah, I think she tried to figure out how to break down my walls, but it was, and I know this sounds just very negative, but it's just been a lot for me to even come to terms with that this is my mom. Like, I'm like, this is the woman that gave birth to me. And as I just gave birth, like it baffles me that me and her are here, because I look at my little girl and I'm just like, I couldn't imagine some of these things, you know, in between us. I can imagine it letting it get to that part. And I think part in that is with my mom's and my dynamic, I've always felt a little bit more mature. And I felt like I've had to be the more mature one. And even after my dad died, people are like, oh, you know, you're the strong one. Oh, you know, you're more mature. I'm like,
I am a child.
I'm like, I'm 17 and you're asking me to take care of my mom and two other children. And wow. How?
Speaking of like family, how have they reacted to you setting boundaries with your mom? Because like, I know you'll have people who are like, oh, that's like kind of like, that's still your mom. So no matter what she does or how she talks to you, you still have to be as everything as you would have been if she were talking to you nicely. So how has that gone with like the elders in the family?
Not good, child. My grandmother, oh my goodness. Not good. Of course, they're like, Sandra, just let it go. You know, you just have to forgive. You know, she's your mother. No matter what she does, she's always be your mother. You have to apologize to her. I'm like, what did I do? You know, like, because my mom has not met my baby. She might know what the name is, but not because she knows, but probably because a family member told her. Like, I haven't spoken to her since I was 6 months pregnant. So, yeah, like, I'm sure they're all like, you should take the baby. I had a call with one of my aunts yesterday, and she was like, dress the baby up real nice and show up at her house. I'm like, girl, this is not my baby daddy, okay? I'm about to just show up to this lady's house with the baby, like, here. Like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not putting that energy, you know, with my daughter as well, because then it's going to be tense. Like, she's my kids can feel everything because they're sponges. And I'm like, but yeah, my family is like, and then they start to go. And this one thing I really just don't like right now is like, they start to go with that. You have a daughter, you see what you're doing. You have a daughter now. And I'm like, this is not just, you know, immaculate conception, can't come out of thin air. I'm like, I told them, I was like, well, if I treat my daughter the same way my mom treats me, I expect her to have the guts to call me out, because I need to instill those values in her that she needs to be able to speak up for herself. That's important, you know? So they just want me to be like, just let it go, you know?
Do you think that some of that comes from, well, one, especially if you're talking to the aunties, they're always going to be on mom's side. Like, I don't think they'll ever like go against, you know, their sister or someone that they see on their level, and plus they themselves are mothers too. And yeah. I'm sure if they were in that situation, they'd want her to have their back. But do you think that, I guess, their point of view on how this should be handled comes from their own experiences and just this is how things are?
I think this is how things are, because when I was talking to my grandma, she was like, my mom, she's like, no matter what my mom did, no matter what she said, no matter if she cussed me out, I would stand by her. And I just think that's just the way things are over there. Like, no matter what your parent does, that's your parent, and you respect them and you're on their side no matter what. They could beat you. They could wake up in the morning and decide to beat you for no reason. And you're like, that's my mom. I'm going to stick beside her. And I think that's just such a horrible way to look at things, because that's how you invite abuse in other relationships. Because
yes.
Oh, I think that's okay. And that was me in my early 20s. You know, I had these relationship dynamics, even with my ex-boyfriend, that after things ended, I really sat back. That's when I really started to sit back. I'm like, why do I think this is okay to allow people to talk to me like this, to treat me like this, to put me down, to have friends that, you know, are wishy-washy or jealous or, you know, just all these different traits. And I'm like, huh. That's when I realized that it was my relationship with my mother. And I didn't realize how powerful it was, because you always hear with women, you always hear, oh, their dad, they have daddy issues, you know, but you never hear about how the dynamic with a mom impacted. Also, because mothers go through labor, you know, they give their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody calls them out on this shit, you know?
Yeah, mothers are a protected class.
Yeah, nobody calls them out. Like, it's like, oh, you can do whatever, you're a mom. you know, you had her, she's yours. And then mm-hmm. sometimes mothers hide behind, because I know my mom used to say this to me, I carried you for 9 months. Who would love you more than me? Like, if we're a tree, I'm the root, you're one of the limbs. You're always part of me, you know? So it was these very like toxic things that were embedded into me when I was young. She used to say that all the time. Like, and she would tell me, if someone doesn't like me, how could they like you? So if she was like in an argument with a family member, I could love that family member because me and her are the same person, you know? Like, she's mad, that family member is mad at her, or she's mad at that family member, I should be too. And she would get upset, like, why are you talking to this person? I'm like, that even happened with my sister and I, you know? When her and I get into this type of dynamic, you know, she would try to get at my sister, like, why are you talking to her? And try to come in between our relationship. And I never thought that she would do something like that. Cause I'm like, that's my little sister. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, that's my girl. Like, I was there changing her diapers. Like, you know, it's insane, but nobody ever checks mothers. Nobody, I think, has checked her early on. Some things are just habits now. Everyone just expects me to get over it. They're like, oh, time would heal it. You know, oh, it's going to be okay. Or, you know, I'm like, is it going to be okay? I was like, I had my first child, a daughter, and she missed that experience intentionally. Mm. For the thing she said about me to my sister. And now that the baby's here, no effort. On top of that, put more on my plate by having me now pretty much raise my brother and sister. And I'm like, that's going to be Dr. Phil episode for us to come back from this. Because,
you know, it seems really hard to like unlearn these like generational things. So like, oh, well, my mom did this to me and her mom did that to her. And I think our generation is like, but that wasn't right. Like your mom should not have done that to you and her mom should not have done that to her. And so two things, especially just like how you've talked about your relationship with your dad, when you have a parent who you feel like, oh, if I have a complaint, I can go to them and say it, or, you know, they're willing to do things or learn me as a person and adapt and adjust. I think just having those like maybe polar opposites has an impact on how you feel like your relationship mm-hmm. with her should go forward. I wanted to ask, how do you think she feels? And if you don't want to like get into her mindset, you don't have to, and we can go on to the next question, but like, how do you think she feels? Do you think like she wants to repair the relationship, but ego won't allow her to love you the way that you need to be loved? Like, where do you think her head is, if you don't mind?
This is something that I've thought about extensively in trying to understand. Like, I've really thought about this. And I think that she likes the idea of certain things. However, just like wanting a dream body, you have to go to the gym, you have to work out, you have to eat properly, you have to do all these little things to achieve that. But I think there's so many habits that have been ingrained in her at this point, because it's been, you know, how many decades, that even if she wants it, it's such a drastic change that I just don't see how it could happen, because she would have to change a lot to make it happen. And I think she honestly probably feels like the victim here, because I was on WhatsApp the other day, and because we used to WhatsApp, I mean, which African, y'all have WhatsApp?
Okay, of course, bro. On there every day. And
I saw her, what's her profile pic? And it was something about prayer to bring her family back together. I'm like, girl, why are you out here acting like the victim? Oh my God. I'm like, what? Prayer? I'm like, what about action? What about calling your children to say, hey, how's it going? You know? So I think sometimes she may want to be like, okay, maybe I can do this. But I don't even, it's just ego. I think if she admits that she did X, Y, and Z wrong, I feel like her whole world would crumble. It's too much shit for her to heal. Like, you know how, like, you know, you just have, you know, you have something, you keep letting it go, and then you get to this point where it's just too much to heal. I think it's too much for her to heal and to come to terms with, because she would have to address so much other shit in the past. And I don't think that she can or is ready. So she it's like so many layers to it. You know what I'm saying? It's like an onion. It's not just as easy as, oh, I miss my kids or I want a better relationship with them. It's like having to confront who she is as a person to even let things be on this level. Nobody wants to admit that they have certain characteristics that are not amazing, you know, especially you have a fragile ego. So there's so many layers to it, but it's not as easy as, you know, her wanting it to work. I think she would have to confront so much shit in how she talks to people, not just us, her children, external relationships as well. And I don't think she can do that. I think she might probably have like a breakdown because it's like she's somebody else. Like, you know what I'm saying? And that's why I think it's been hard for me to connect with her because I don't think she has a true sense of self. It's like, who are you? You know, what do you like? You know? Not just what you think the world wants you to be, not just what your church people, girl, what your people want you to be, you know, just this. Because if you meet her, she comes off as this super sweet, innocent church woman that goes to church every day, you know, that loves God, loves Jesus, you know, and that's it. But then when you start to peel back the layers, So I think her mindset is in an alternate reality. I don't think it's rooted in this 3D reality that we're in. I think it's off somewhere and that is shown in the certain decisions she makes. And it just don't make sense. Like it's not logical. It's highly emotional, highly reactive. And to me, it seems like a false sense of self. She knows who she is. So if she doesn't know who she is, how can she share that with her children? That was very important for me before becoming a mom was to, one, work on all this shit from my childhood. And of course, healing is always ongoing. You're never at a destination. But for me to realize, okay, these are things about myself that I need to work on and be mindful of that. And these are things that absolutely would not pass on my daughter, you know, so.
Wow. So I don't want to put words in your mouth, but from everything that you've shared so far, and I guess just kind of where the current state of your relationship is, it seems like you've reached a place of peace and acceptance about what the relationship is, what you think it may be in the near future. But do you feel any pressure, even when you're at peace, about extending like an olive branch to see how the relationship could evolve to where you think it could be?
Definitely. 2 weeks ago, I was crying about it. I had the urge. I was just like working. I had the urge. I was like, man, you know, I just would like to talk to her. And that's the crazy thing about being a mother. No matter what, she could do anything on this planet and I would still love her. And I've told her that. I'm like, I love you. And even when I tell her I love you, I'm like, I love you unconditionally. Like, I love you no matter what. Now, that doesn't mean that I can interact with you on a certain level just for my mental health, but I love you. So of course, like, I think about it and then I play out the scenario of how I think it's going to go. And not just how I think, how I know based on X, Y, and it's like a math equation. I play it out and I realize that me reaching out will not get the desired result. Like, if I call her today, she will 100% answer my phone call. I know that for a fact. If I'm like, hey, I would like to talk to you, I would do this, it will 100% happen. Things will be good for about a couple months and it'll go right back to the shit situation it's been. Cause I've done that. That was like my entire 20s. I'm like, all right, Sandra, you know what? Just let it go. Even apologize, you know, just take that route. And I've done that. And the relationship will be good for a couple months and then bam, it's like a bait and switch. We're back to square one, but it hurts a little bit more because each time I believe that she's getting better and improving. And this time around, I told myself when I was pregnant, I was like, I have to break this cycle. I cannot keep going on this loop of, you know, talking to her for 3 months. Because when we stopped talking in April, I was just not talking to her in December. I just started talking to her in April. So April to August, we talked and then bam, again, after not talking to her from December. And it's just like, that's just kind of been our relationship. Like we won't talk for months or to a year, we talk again. So she probably expects that I will reach out. She did, she told my sister, she said, when she has this baby, she's gonna call me, she's gonna do this. I'm like, okay, girl, we're gonna see. And I had to kind of break that cycle as much as I want to. I also know for me that I'm also wanting something that I don't think she's capable of giving me as a mother and as a person. So in my hopes of reaching out is also a little bit idealistic of what I would like, because I would hope that we would bond on this motherhood journey, you know, and some things that we now can connect on and talk about, but it's not going to happen the way I think it's going to happen, because I've done it so many times before. So 2 weeks ago, I was literally like, I had my phone in my hand. I was just sitting there and I was just like, I would just love to call her and just be like, hey mom, you know, I want to know how you're doing. But that would just mean that I would just invite even more disrespect, because she's going to be pissed about this. She's going to be pissed that, you know, this situation has even gone to the point where other family members know about it, know that my siblings are living with me, that she wasn't there for the birth. Like all these things, my mom holds a grudge. So she's going to hold that, and she may not let it out initially, but like 2 months later, she is going to come. It's like an ex-boyfriend where you think it's going to get better. They're going to be nice for like 2 months. And then 3 months down the line, they're like, I'm never going to beat you again. And then you do something and then just start smacking you, you know? So
yeah. It goes back to what you said, like, okay, if I'm accepting certain things here or like not speaking out about it, then that might even, and I don't think it's like, oh, it'll 100%. I don't know what the what the stats would be. But I do think like I can see that connection of, okay, like if, and it's with anything, right? Like if I'm passive at work and I don't ever express my thoughts, I will be passive in other situations more than likely. So it's like, okay, if I'm allowing, you know, this boyfriend to hit me, it makes sense that I would let my boss like talk to me any kind of way or abuse me. Like as you're talking, one of the things that I'm gathering is, so our generation, you know, we marry later than our parents' generations, right? Mm-hmm. And I think to me, even though like society might see that as a negative thing, but I'm just sitting here thinking, man, how lucky are we to take the opportunity to get to know ourselves, get to know how like our relationships with our parents, you know, impact our relationships with others. Like what good characteristics from my mom do I want to find in a partner? Or what bad characteristics from my dad do I want to avoid in a partner? Like we are so lucky not only to like have the time and have it be a little bit more acceptable to have the time to like before rushing into a marriage, but also to have all the resources like therapy. I don't know that we've talked about it on one of our episodes, but like older generations, this whole idea of having therapy was just not a thing. And I think for us, we're lucky that it's so common, you know, because we can, you know, like figure ourselves out, figure out our issues, and we don't have to continue the cycle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's a saying, it's how you do something is how you do anything. And that's something I always tell my brother, because sometimes I'll be like, get the dishes, who half-assed the dishes. And I'm always like, Sam, how you do something is how you do anything. Because it's not, you're not just one person. People like to think, oh, I'm this way here. You're not that, I don't even know what the word to put it in is, you know, you're not that amazing just to switch like that, you know, like you become a routine type of person. You know, if a person is like super ambitious, they're going to be that type of way with everything that they do, you know, that they pick up. So yeah. And if I had married the person that I was dating at 21, I probably would have been divorced. And the interesting thing about it is at that time, my mom had advised me, because he joined the military. She was like, yeah, go ahead and get married to him. And that would have been such a huge mistake, because that was such an abusive and toxic relationship. Like that man has raised his hand on me. And this is the first time I've actually even said it. Like people close to me don't even know that, because my personality is not a personality that you would think that I would allow someone to even but at that time at 21, I was so used to being in a certain type of dynamic. Like it was just so horrible. And that's after the end of that relationship, I really sat back and I was like, why the hell did I put up with that for 3 years with this person and almost marry this person that wanted to marry, you know? And that's when I really started to realize, I was like, my relationship with my mom. And I started to work on that, because there were so many correlations between my ex in our dynamic. Like I remember one time he like dropped out of school, girl, oh my God. And I applied for him for college. Like I took his social everything. Like I did the application. I did all of it, right? And he went to class and he would lie to me that he was going to class, you guys, and was not going to class. So every day he would leave like he was going to class, but he would not go to class. So I remember one day I don't even know why I was in his email, girl. Oh my God, this is so bad. And I saw an email about something about for the school, like either dropping out or something like that. I was just like, I was like, where have you been going for the last couple months? What have you been doing all day?
Not school.
Makes sense. I never see you do any homework. I like right now, that is such a funny story back then. Like, and I still stayed with him, y'all. Oh my. That was not the last straw. Oh my goodness. Like that boy.
This is so funny. Like just, it's funny, but it's not because one, I'm just like proud of you and how you've, just the person that you are. So obviously I met you with your current partner.
Yeah.
And just like hearing how you speak about him versus what nonsense was going on back then. I'm like, I am so happy to be a witness to this story. We were gonna end by asking like, oh, what advice do you have for people who have complicated relationships with their mom? I kind of also want to hear what advice you have for moms on how to soften their relationship with their daughters. So one or both of those would be great.
Yeah. I think with mom to soften their relationships with their daughters, for me, something that I've just wanted from my mom was just for her to see me as my own person and not have all these, you know, I think sometimes when you have a child, and I'm being very mindful of that with, you know, my little girl, you have all these expectations of what you want your child to be. And all, you know, I want them to be a doctor. Girl, I remember when I said I was going to be a doctor, that was World War III in my house. Like, what? You're not going to be, you know, all these expectations. You know, something I just wanted was for her to try to build a relationship with me as I show up, you know, not as this representation of what she thinks a good African daughter would be, you know, marrying a pastor, you know, getting your PhD, like all these little things. Like, that's something I would say is just really try to get to know, you know, your kids. I was at a conference and a mother and daughter were sitting next to me and I was by myself. So I was just, you know, I had my headphones in, but I just put that in so people don't talk to me. I had nothing playing. I was listening to the conversation and it was to me so interesting because the mom was just asking her about her friends, what she had going on. And she was just talking and it was so interesting. I'm like, wow, I've never had a conversation like that with my mom. Like, and her mom knew what was going on and she was just telling him, yeah, I was, you know, we had this going on and this, you know. So I think just trying, when your kids are a certain age, trying to find that, as you mentioned, Myosha, like that balance with them of I'm still the parent, but now we can also have some level of friendship because you're going through certain adult things. You know, at 14, it may be a little uncomfortable to talk about sex with your mom, but I think, you know, at 30, at 27, you know, there should be a little bit of comfortness because, I mean, you are out here sneaking and geeking, you know, like you're getting it in. I have a daughter, you know, so things like that. And I think for on the flip side, I think the biggest thing is acceptance from the daughter as to where the relationship is, because I think that was a hard thing for me, was acceptance and just a little bit of shame around it. Because especially with having my daughter, people always ask, oh my gosh, I bet your mom is so excited. And even sometimes David's family, they want to talk to her, they want to meet her. I'm like, oh, child. You know, because, and I feel, I don't know why I take on the responsibility like it's my fault that things aren't where they are. But there's a little bit of, a lot of sadness that comes with it. A little bit of shame of not having like this good relationship with her. And it took me a while to accept that. So yeah, and in that, I also spend time working on myself. So a lot of personal development and just trying to improve on yourself and don't go out there trying to look for what is missing, because I did that and it never ends well, so.
Nice. Well, thank you so much for joining us. This was such a wonderful conversation. I expected nothing less. but to our audience, thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode of the Girlfriends and Goals podcast. You've heard our thoughts on this topic, but we'd love to hear your thoughts as well. So make sure you follow us on Instagram at Girlfriends and Goals podcast, where we'll continue this conversation over the next week. If you haven't subscribed already, please go ahead and do that now. And don't forget to rate, review, and share. Until next time, bye.
Bye.